My dear family of God, when troubles begin to come on our way, they come in battalions, in series of problems every day. We are confronted with the reality of life. But with God, we shall overcome them all. I say this because, reflecting on the first reading, I went back from the movement of crossing the Red Sea when the people of Israel, in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, will celebrate God's victory in a loud voice and in a sounding cymbals, when they exalted the right arm of the Lord. Shortly after that, in chapter 16, Moses is confronted with their hunger, when the people of Israel complained bitterly to him, "Why have you brought us in this desert to die? Were we to be in slavery, you have had our fill, eating vegetables, cucumber, carrots, and every other meal. Now here we are, dying out of hunger in the desert." Moses would cry to God, and God who made provision for them through the manna. Shortly after eating the manna, the people started complaining again. "Why are we eating just one food every day? We are fed up with this manna." Moving from there, "We are thirsty. Give us water to drink." Moses said, "What can I do with those people?" He's being confronted with a series of problems. And he cried out to God, and the Lord showed him the way. "Take your staff, that with which you opened into the sea for a dry land to appear for them to walk on. My presence will go before you. Select some of the elders and come meet me at the rock. Strike it, and water would come out for them to drink." Beloved, in chapter 17, after drinking the water that came out of the rock, Moses is confronted with another challenge. The Amalekites came fighting the people of Israel. Moses proved himself a leader and provided leadership to them. When he said to his special aide, Joshua, "You select for us some men and go to the battlefield, whilst I will go up the hill with Hur and Aaron, and I shall lift up the staff of the Lord, and the Lord would win the victory for us." Beloved in Christ, today Moses, we are told, throughout the duration of the battle, held his hand up. When he was wearied, he was assisted by Hur and Aaron, and finally, with a rock supporting him. Because any time that his hand came down, Israelites were losing the battle. And so when he persevered with his hand upright, victory was accomplished in favor of God's people. Beloved in Christ, today the readings invite us to persevere in prayer. And reflecting on Moses, two things come to mind. The first one is that Moses, as it were, agreed with the words of Saint Paul to the church at Ephesus, that for our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers of darkness. He knew that the battle was the Lord. It was not just a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. They could only win as long as the Lord would do the fighting for them. And so he held his hand upright, seeking the face of God for his victory. And lo and behold, the Lord granted his victory unto them. The posture of Moses, lifting up his hands with a staff, prefigured Christ and his cross. Just as Moses raised his hand to the sunset, Christ's hand will be opened and stretched on the cross. And just shortly before the sunset, he would win victory for the whole of the human race, for the salvation of the world. And so in this portrait of Moses, we are invited to reflect on that victory accomplished by Christ on the cross. When we were confronted by the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, through the sacrifice of his son, God would win victory for the whole of the creation, the whole of his creation. Beloved in Christ, today in the figure of Moses, we are exhorted to pray unceasingly and to pray always without being tired, without growing weary, to seek the face of God always. For we are not fighting with flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities and powers of darkness. We, like the people of Israel, we are undertaking a spiritual pilgrimage towards the promised land. Just as the occupation of the promised land did not come on a silver platter, every day in our spiritual journey, you'll be confronted with problems. But when it comes, we have only one to make a recourse to him, and it's God himself. And so St. Paul, exhorting the Ephesians, said to them, since we are not battling with flesh and blood, we should put on the armor of God and pray always without growing weary. Today, Jesus exhorts us in the gospel reading with the parable of the unjust judge, who granted the request of a widow simply because the widow persisted. Jesus tells us that our Father would grant us justice when we cry out to him. And how do you cry out to God? St. Paul, in the second reading, shows us the way. He reminds his spiritual son, Timothy, of the Holy Scriptures, with which he had been raised up from his infancy by his grandmother, Louise. Having been taught and having been nourished with the Holy Scriptures, St. Paul reminds him, being a bishop at the church of Ephesus, that he could not become effective instrument in governing the church and granting them their pastoral care without making a recourse to the Holy Scriptures. And so he exhorts him. All scripture is inspired, good for teaching, good for exhortation, good for reproving, that when you live with the scriptures, you would accomplish the mission that has been entrusted to you. Beloved in Christ, Saint Paul giving out the gift of the scripture to his spiritual son, Timothy, reminds all of us that there's no prayer more powerful and stronger than praying with the Holy Scriptures. For it is the divine word. And St. Paul tells us that every scripture is inspired, as it were, reminding us of the moment of creation, when God, in the second creation story, fashioned man out of clay, but being told that he took the breath of life, that principle of life which came from God, for that clay to become a living being. So also the scripture is inspired. God's word is a life-giving word. With that breath of God given, as he inspired the authors of the Holy Scriptures to compose such a sacred book. Anyone who looks and reads this holy scripture would find that life-giving principle. Beloved in Christ, praying with scriptures always brings us closer to God. We come to discover the will of God. And being committed to that will of God, God always reveals the mysteries of his kingdom to us. And because of this, there are two prayers that I cherish most, which I want to exhort you on. The first one is the Our Father prayer. Simply because this prayer is never composed by any human being, but by God himself. When Jesus was entreated by his disciples to teach them how to pray, he gave that model prayer, Our Father. This is a divine word being given to us, that any time that we want to commune with God, we can make use of. And he, the Son, who alone knows the mind of the Father, knows exactly what the Father is capable to give us. And so he gives us that divine prayer. The second prayer is the Hail Mary prayer. Again, the words of the Hail Mary prayer are never human words, but divine words. God sending his archangel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary, greeted her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Beloved in Christ, the only additional words added by the church to this prayer is the seeking of Mary's intercession. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. All other words in the Hail Mary prayer are divine words given by Archangel Gabriel, and also affirmed by Lisbeth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When Lisbeth called the Blessed Virgin Mary, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" revealing to us that title of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. My dear family of God, today we are being called upon to persevere in our prayer life without becoming tired. For the Lord answers every prayer that we offer before Him. Even in His apparent silence, God answers us. He knows what is good and what is best for His people. And He knows at all times to grant what we ask of Him. What is important is that we come to Him with firm faith in addressing our needs. And so Jesus concluded today's parable reading, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?" It takes faith and trust in God, believing that God is able to grant unto us our requests for anyone to come to Him in that spirit of prayer. When we lift up our hearts and minds before God and asking Him for His will to be accomplished. Beloved, oftentimes God will not grant the request as we want it to be, because He knows what is good for us. And therefore, we need to also learn from the prayer life of Jesus Christ Himself, especially in His Gethsemane prayer. When Jesus on three occasions would go into prayer and ending each prayer on the note that, "Not that I will, but let Your will be done." That Gethsemane prayer has been my prayer too. Seeking the will of God, you always end your prayer, "Lord, I have asked You. I do not know what is good for me, but let Your will be done." And when we end our prayers with on that note, He accomplishes great things in our life. My dear family of God, may we all be strengthened in our prayer life, because that is the only tool by which we shall conquer the enemy. That is the only tool by which we shall reign supreme over our attackers. We are not fighting a physical battle. And so Moses has shown us the way. Even though physically he had asked his special aid to get ready men for the battle, he knew that it is the Lord's battle. And so he appeared on the mountain seeking God's face. May we always seek the face of God in every struggle that we go through, that when we learn to depend on Him always, He will do the battle for us. And when God fights our battles, victories become ours. May the Lord continue to journey with us in all the trials and the struggles we are confronted with in this earthly life, that we will not grow weary, but strengthened by His grace, we will end successfully in Him. May He bless us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.